Good evening, everybody. How's everyone doing tonight? Good, good. Good to see everybody. Well, on Sunday morning, we preached on being in between rainy seasons. And I told you to hold your umbrella up on Sunday morning. And guess what happened? It rained. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the rain. And looks like we may be having some rain here in the next several days. So that's good. I'm grateful for the rain, but that means we're going to have to cut grass more. But whatever, I'm not complaining. But anyway, it is good to be here tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. And just want to take a moment to say thank you for those watching on Facebook. I don't often welcome them when I welcome you, but do want to welcome those that are tuning in on Facebook and listening online. We appreciate you and hope the service is a blessing to you tonight. Let's jump right into things. And Brother Leonard had his second round of treatment Monday. And I heard from Miss Dolores today. Leonard is doing good, she said. He goes back for his next treatment, I believe, on Monday, his third treatment, that is. They're going to be putting in a port, Brother Leonard. If they didn't do that, they'll be sticking them every time. And, you know, sometimes they find your veins, sometimes they don't. And, you know, she said that they're going to be giving him treatments for the rest of his life. And so it might be a good thing to do, to have a port. But, and then in 3 months from now, they're going to do a CT scan to see where things are at. Miss Dolores, she's actually having her heart monitor taken off, removed tomorrow. So let's remember them in prayer, Brother Leonard's healing, and Miss Dolores, whatever she has going on with her heart. Pray for her as well, that the Lord just continue to touch them. Diane Ely went today for her back surgery appointment, and so we're waiting to hear back on that. But let's remember our children's home tonight. Remember the services downstairs for our young people, our teachers. Just remember, I asked the Lord that He'll just keep us all safe as we worship Him tonight. I know that that to some may seem weird to say, but day and time we're living in, it's good to pray that. God will keep us safe while we're in this building. I think we've seen some of the danger when Trump and the attempted assassination with him. So you just don't know what's on the hearts and minds of people. But let's just pray the Lord keep us safe tonight and give us some good services. And our children's home, our teacher, our house parents, but our teachers downstairs tonight. James and Shirley Townsend, Don and Carla Rich. The Sapp family is in town. They will be here for VBS, I believe, Friday and Saturday. And, of course, Brother Stephen will be preaching on Sunday morning. And I'll be closing things out for VBS on Sunday night. Y'all like our decorations? Colorful, huh? Yeah, go ahead. That's good. Yeah. I like color. So, speaking of VBS, while we're on that subject, we'll start Friday, our 3-day VBS, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Friday, Saturday 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and Sunday at 5 o'clock. And if you're wanting to help, like Miss Amanda said, just show up. Just show up. This is a makeshift, tailor-made VBS for this year just to get it going. And we'll take what we've learned this year and our experience and all and apply it to next year for hopefully a bigger VBS. But we're excited that we have one this year. So remember that. This coming up Friday. And that's all I really want to share right now as far as announcements. I don't want to put too much out there, have our minds bogged down. We're trying to keep up with a bunch of dates. That's going to get us through this coming up Sunday. And just to remind you, though, while I'm on it, we will be leaving to go out of town on Monday through next Sunday. And I got the pulpit covered and things like that while we're gone. Bro Jeff will be speaking on Wednesday night next week. And may have some special singing for you on next week, next Wednesday. So remember that as well. All right. Does anybody have a prayer request, a praise, an update, something you want to share? Anything like that at all? All right. Miss Lee Ellen? Really? She got shot this week? When was it? Did you get shot today? Is that it? Is that when she got shot? Got the back shot. Well, we're glad that the shot is working. Yeah, that's the best kind of shots to get, is, you know, that kind of shot. Praise the Lord for that. Hassan? All right. Yeah. Good. All right. As long as you're serving the coffee, you're not drinking it all day. You know, you come to work not to drink up the product. Whatever you do on your coffee break is up to you. We'll be remembering that. Hassan, that's great news, buddy. Great news. Anybody else? All right. Well, again, it's just good to be here. And I do encourage you to pray for our country and our leaders and our president that we have. We're instructed to pray for those in authority. And between now and November election time, again, not mixing politics. Don't want to mix politics in tonight much, but it is going to be a good election. I mean, I will say this, that we're getting a lot of support. We, meaning Trump, is getting a lot of support from various places he didn't before. And there are people supporting Trump just because he almost got shot and killed. And but listen. Hey, if that's what's going to get them in there with all these extra votes and all, that's what we want. I'm not afraid to say that I'm pro-Trump, voting for him. But let's remember that. Anything else before we pray tonight? Really? Yeah. Absolutely. Just pray for his safety. God kept him alive, I tell you, 1 centimeter. If he was looking this way, he would have been a goner. And he was looking this way. Just goes to show you, the Lord does protect us. Even when it comes down to centimeters, he protects us. But let's pray for Donald Trump and his protection. God saved him for a reason. Amen. Absolutely did. Anyone else? All right. Well, as we do on Wednesday nights, this is called prayer meeting, Bible study. And so all that would like to join me in the altar to pray, you can, or you can pray right where you're at. It's just wherever you feel comfortable. And then Brother Jeff has a message.
take a ride on the gospel train tonight.
Choo-choo. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. I tell you, you got to have some lungs to do that. And what a blessing tonight. All right. Last Wednesday night, we spoke about a race. And we were in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. And we talked about how to run a victorious Christian race. We mentioned a consideration, an elimination, a determination, and an inspiration. We talked about a race. Tonight, I want to talk about a reward. A reward. Tonight, we all have the potential to win crowns in our life. Crowns. Heavenly crowns. Or rewards, excuse me. Heavenly crowns, or in another place, it talks about rewards. These crowns that we can potentially win in our Christian life will not be a collection that we display in our heavenly home, but they will indeed be used to give back to Jesus. If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4 for just a moment. Revelation 4, and most believe that that's what this verse I'm getting ready to read to you refers to. Revelation 4 in verse number 10. The 24 elders, which represent the church here, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. They cast their crowns. The church casted or will cast their crown. The crowns that the church would receive is not by their own merit, but it's by the power of God and through the Lord Himself is by which that the church would have crowns. So most believe that that's what this refers to, is receiving reward and not hoarding it up and displaying the rewards in heaven, if indeed these rewards speak of crowns, but yet giving the crowns back to the Lord as saying, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for allowing me to be victorious in my Christian life, and I give you this crown. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to win some people to Jesus. I give you this reward back. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done for me. And so tonight, we will either earn rewards on earth or we will not earn rewards on earth. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to this in verse number... 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. The Bible says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Speaking of the judgment day, speaking of the judgment where the Christian will stand, the judgment seat of Christ. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. What is it? Every man's work is the it. Our works will be tried by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What sort it is in reference to motive, is in reference to why we do what we do. And so the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so this doesn't have to do with eternity in hell versus heaven. We're saved from hell. We're not going to go to a place called hell and burn in fire. We will be saved, yet so by fire. This has to do with reward, gain of reward or loss of reward. Verse 12, if you read back at verse 12, it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And so we know that fire will burn stubble, fire will burn hay, fire will burn wood, but precious stones, silver, and gold will withstand the fire. And this has to do with the things that we've done for the Lord on earth, our motives, and why we do what we do. Those are likened unto gold, silver, or precious stone. And someone said, impure motives, desiring glory from man and doing things selfishly, those things are likened unto wood, hay, and stubble. And we know that those things will be burned up in fire. If we serve the Lord to get the light on us, if we serve the Lord to let everybody know how great we are, those are that is a type of wood, that's a type of hay and stubble that will be burned up. But if your motive is pure and your motive is just and it's for the glory and honor of God, why, those works will stand the test. It will either be gold, silver, or precious stone. And so we will either earn the rewards here on earth or we will not. Now, turn, if you would, over to chapter number 9 in 1 Corinthians, but chapter number 9. Verse number 24 and 25 is going to be our text verse tonight. Verse number 24 says this, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it, those in the ancient games, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, a worldly crown, a physical crown. But we, an incorruptible or incorruptible crown. Tonight, for a few moments, I want to speak to you on this subject, a race to run and a crown to win. A race to run and a crown to win. Again, last Wednesday night, we talked about that race. We talked about staying in our lane and running the race that's set before us, laying aside every weight and the sin which do so easily surround us, and run this race with patience. And we talked about looking unto Jesus. We talked about, you know, not paying attention to someone that's in this lane over here or this lane, unless you're intending on helping that person in that lane. But we never criticize one that's behind us, and we never make fun of one that's not far along as we are. But we are to focus on our lane. We are to stay in our lane and run the race that God has set before us. God has set your own personal race. Everybody in this room is going through different things tonight. I am going through things and jumping over certain hurdles that is tailor-made to me in my life that my family's going through. Brother Ceylon and Miss Catherine has their own hurdles, and Miss Vicky has her hurdles, and Miss BJ has her twists and turns and hurdles in her lanes, and everybody in here has your own lanes. And so the idea here is that back in the ancient games, they had their races, and they would win a prize, and it would be a garland that is in a circular shape like a crown, and they would be honored, and they would be given that crown because they won, whoever the winner was. But that's a physical crown. We're talking about this incorruptible crown. We're talking about a heavenly crown. And so tonight there is a race to run and a crown to win. And in fact, there are five crowns in my estimation of the Scriptures, at least five, that you can win. Again, these crowns, these rewards aren't for us to put on our heads in heaven and dance around and say how great we are. But if I understand Scripture correctly, our crowns, our rewards, it's something the Lord has enabled us to do, and He rewarded us with it, and we give it back to Him. And so I don't want to face Jesus empty-handed whenever I die. Five crowns. Number one, there's the incorruptible crown. Now, notice again verse number 25, 1 Corinthians 9. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. This is the first crown that you can be awarded with in heaven. Now, some believe it's figuratively speaking. I'm taking it at surface value. If the Bible says we can win an incorruptible crown, I believe that there is a reward for us, and it's an incorruptible crown, and we give it back to the Lord. But this crown is awarded to those, listen to this, who strive to master the flesh. Look what he says in verse 25. And everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That word striveth there, it means to struggle. It means to endeavor to accomplish something. It means to fight. It means to labor. And so he says that the Christian that is in the Christian race is engaged. He is struggling. He isn't perfect, but he is striving for perfection. You see, tonight, the truth of the matter is there are many who give up on their Christian journey. They give up on running their race because they feel like a failure. Well, listen, we will never get to a place where we are achieving sinless perfection. We'll never get there. I've said before and I'll say it again, if we fall down when we're in our lane, we get back up and we go again. It's all about engaging in the fight. It's all about locking horns, if you would, with your call, locking horns with your trail, your path you're on. It's all about staying in the fight, staying in the struggle. Do you know someone who has given up tonight in an area in their life? There are some who are on drugs, who they try to get off drugs and they try to get sober and they just give up and they throw themselves into it. And as a result of that, many of them overdose and die. Many of them go into rehab and they come out. Just using it as an illustration. And so the times that they actually give up and they overdose and die, or they go back to the rehab and back out on drugs, back to the rehab, it's because they stop fighting to be sober. They stop fighting. A lot of Christians have stopped striving to please the Lord because they have never achieved perfection. We will never achieve perfection, but we've got to keep striving for perfection. We got to keep striving. It's just like me and my health. It's just like losing weight and trying to stay healthy. I've kept my weight off since last May. Now, I've lost a total of 100 pounds. I put 5 of it back on. Y'all give me some grace. I put 5 back on. But you see, where I could mess up is I could say, what's the use? I love food. I'm going to put it back on anyway. It's always happened in my life. I might as well just eat pizza every night and cake for dessert and Burger King for lunch and McDonald's for breakfast and any sodas and Cokes I want to, because I'm just going to fall back into it anyway. When you reach that place in your life physically, you will go downhill quick. And so there are a lot of people with that kind of idea spiritually tonight. They have just said, what's the use? I'm going to sin anyway, so I might as well not even try. And so Paul here, he's not talking about you can win this crown by being perfect, but he is talking about you can win this crown, you can be given this award, this reward, by just simply striving, staying in the battle, staying trying to be a better Christian, be a better dad, grandparent, mother, employee on the job, better Bible student, better prayer warrior. Don't stop striving for those things. Don't stop striving, trying to deny the flesh. Notice what he says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The word temperate means to restrain. We've got to restrain our flesh, church. You know that. If we just woke up and started our day and went out into the world and anybody who looked at us the wrong way or said a word that's negative to us, and if we just let ourselves go and pumped our fist and, you know, fought people, we'd be in jail, blown our testimonies. You know, we can allow our emotions to run us. We have to be temperate. We have to restrain ourselves. So let not our emotions control our lives, and don't give in to every emotion you feel, but know that you have to restrain yourself. As a runner in a race, they have to be ready to race. They have to be healthy to race. They have to know their limits. So let us know our limits. Let us master the flesh. Let us learn our flesh. Let us know what we're to do and not to do in order to live a productive Christian life. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. And so it's not about completing as it is competing. It's not perfection as it is persistence. It's all about the effort. And I just believe with everything that's within me, God sees and knows the effort. Psalm 139 talks about, David says, he knows when I'm standing, he knows when I'm sitting. And if he knows when I'm standing and he knows when I'm sitting, he knows my efforts. He knows I'm trying and he knows when I'm not trying. God blesses effort. And so praise the Lord for that. And this crown can be won, this incorruptible crown, by the person who stays in the fight. Number two, not only there's the incorruptible crown, but there's the crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now this crown is a little bit different. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 19. Paul says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" So we see here that Paul says, he brings up the subject of another crown. And Paul says, just knowing that you one day will be in the presence of Jesus when He comes, he says, that makes me rejoice. Paul, again, was an apostle, a preacher, and people would come to know the Lord through his ministry. And he says, you are my crown. I'm rejoicing. You are my trophy. Paul says, You are the reason for my rejoicing. You are my crown of rejoicing. I remember when I got saved back November 19th, 2002, and my brother, he got saved, as I said, I believe Sunday night, that he got saved November 19th, 2000. He got saved 2 years before I did. And this was his testimony. He said, Justin, and he'll tell you this. He said, Justin, I struggled with bodybuilding, and I struggled with steroids. I struggled with, you know, trying to win that earthly trophy. And he said the Lord convicted me on that. And he said, I can remember the day that I laid that earthly trophy down. I gave up bodybuilding. And he said, what happened next was what was amazing. He says, that is, you got saved. He said, I laid down my earthly trophy and I got a heavenly trophy because you got saved. He's convinced because he laid down bodybuilding that I got saved. And however you want to look at it, I got saved 2 years after he got saved. And it may be in connection with him giving up bodybuilding and witnessing to me. It's definitely in correlation with that. But Paul says there's this crown of rejoicing. In Philippians 4 and verse number 1. You don't have to turn there, but Paul calls the Philippians his crown. His crown. As an athlete wins the garland crown in the ancient games, Paul says, you are my heavenly crown. The word crown here in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, it means circle or diadem. And it's certainly an emblem of reward. So some say they are the people that are won to Jesus are the crown. Others think there'll be an actual crown for winning the people to Jesus. However you want to look at it, Paul did say that you are my crown of rejoicing. And so if you want to get this crown, you've got to win somebody to the Lord. We can't take full credit for that because we didn't save anybody. Paul didn't save anybody. He just preached. But yet, Paul knew when he got to heaven that there was going to be people there because of his ministry. And he says, you are my crown of rejoicing. You are my trophy. And so, at any rate, tonight, there is this crown of rejoicing phrase here in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Don't turn there, but Proverbs 11:30, the Bible says, about soul winning, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. So the writer there says, be a spiritual wise guy. You ever heard that on TV? They used to say that phrase years ago. Oh, you're a wise guy. You wise guy. Let us be a spiritual wise guy. The Bible says if we win souls, we're wise. And that is the Great Commission. That's why we go on outreach. That's why we preach. That's why we teach Sunday school, all of it, all together. We do that to So the Lord will save the lost and bless the saved. And so there's the crown of rejoicing. But there's a third crown tonight, a third one, and that is the crown of life. Crown of life. Turn, if you would, to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1, verse number 12. James 1 and verse number 12. James says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So there's a crown here that can be received, and it has to do with enduring temptation. Now, the temptation he is talking about here, it means trials. It means, or through the idea of a putting to proof or experiment. And James' thought process is actually reflecting back earlier in chapter 1, where verse 2 he talks about temptations. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," or various trials. Verse 3, "knowing this, that the trying," or the experiment "of your faith worketh patience." Preached on that Sunday morning. "But let patience have her perfect work," trial, experiment, hard time, "that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing," or mature and complete, lacking nothing, content. And then he gets all the way down to verse number 19, on that same thought, and he says, "Blessed," or "happy is the man that doesn't give up during their trial, that endures their trial." That word "endure" there, or "endureth" in verse 12, it means to stay under. It means to bear the load. It means to endure the pain, the suffering, not giving up. What is it that you're dealing with tonight that may be a heavy load? It may be something you didn't ask for, something that crept into your life. Maybe it's even something that God ordained to happen so that He might put your faith to the test. You know, there's times where God runs experiments on us. And it's a time where our faith is tested and stretched and tried. I believe it's Peter that says, "If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." If need be. Sometimes God sees the need for a trial in our life. But He does this to develop us. He does this to bring the best out in us. Of course, verse number 13 is something totally different in James 1. He's talking about solicitation to do evil here. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man." So James is talking, well, while we're on the subject of temptation, I'll tell you what God does and what God doesn't do. And so tonight he says that if you carry that burden, carry that load, and you continue on, he says, you will receive the crown of life. Now, there's no appeal to these crowns or rewards if it's just for us to have and, you know, kind of just enjoy in heaven and dust them rewards off and, you know, put them back on the mantle in our heavenly home. There's not a lot of appeal to that. But if it's something we can give back to Jesus, in my understanding, that's how it's going to go. If it's something we can give back to Him, there is a great appeal to that, because He died for us. And I don't just want to get in heaven tonight. I want to be able to give something back to Him. And so there's a great appeal to these rewards. There's the crown of life. There's a fourth crown tonight. A fourth crown. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse number 4. And that is the crown of glory. the crown of glory. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, who is this crown of glory for? This crown of glory, the candidates are potential pastors. In verse number 1, he says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, in several places of Scripture, an elder can represent an aged, mature Christian. But I believe here, elder is in reference to bishop or pastor, and I'll tell you why. Verse number 2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Pastors and bishops are the under-shepherds. He is the chief shepherd. And so what does the Bible say about this shepherd, this under-shepherd, that could receive this crown of glory? Well, it has to do with faithfulness of the shepherd. In verse number 2, this pastor, this bishop, is to feed God's flock faithfully. Feed the flock of God which is among you. The pastor is to feed them spiritually. That's why you're to go to church and attend a church where you're being fed. If you're not being fed, that's why many times people go to other churches, if that indeed is the reason. Now, we know people go to other churches for other reasons. But you go where you're being fed. And I say you tithe where you're being fed. Tithe where you're being fed. Go where you're being fed. And the pastor is to feed the flock of God. The pastor isn't to be, he's not a perfect person, but he should be a progressive person who is maturing and growing. Feed the flock of God which is among you. And then he says the pastor not only is to, if he's going to receive this crown of glory, is to be one that feeds the flock faithfully, but oversees the flock faithfully. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. This pastor's job is not only to preach, but the pastor's job is to protect. And sometimes we get in situations where we have to have church discipline. Sometimes we have to do things where we make steps where we protect the church. And this can mean administrations, anything dealing with the administrations of the church, but taking the oversight, protecting the church, what's best for the church, have a vision for the church, take the church in a certain direction, and you're to do this willingly, not being made to. You shouldn't have to make a pastor do his job, and a pastor shouldn't do his job just for a paycheck. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. A pastor will have a mind that's ready to serve, not for the paycheck, and not being made to pastor, but he wants to pastor. He wants to share God's word. He wants to protect and take the oversight of the church. He is given that responsibility, endowed by God, given by the deacons. And so he is willingly doing this. He is feeding the flock of God. Sometimes people try to enter the pastorate and say, well, that's what I want to do in my career. I want to pastor a church and man, I get to get paid doing it. I'm going to pastor for the paycheck. You're not going to last long. Many have tried to do this for an occupation and haven't lasted. It's because this isn't something that a pastor chooses. It's something that God has given to him. And tonight, the years of ministry I've been in and pastoring from my first church to this church, this is my third church, I have no bells and whistles to pin on myself. I have no merits to claim. There's been several times where I've told God, I'm done, Lord. I'm done. And somehow, Brother Don, Brother Ceylon, Brother Jeff, there's just a burning in here to keep going. There's just this voice on the inside that says, be patient with the people. Be patient with yourself. With your own progress, be patient. There's been times where I've left preaching, I thought to myself, I ain't gonna never preach again. Oh my goodness, I bombed that one. I mean, you know, be patient with yourself, Pastor. Be patient with the people, Pastor. And so the pastor that has this approach is the one that is called by God. He does it willingly. He doesn't do it for the paycheck, although he has to make a living. And he takes the oversight. And taking the oversight, again, sometimes we have to do things that people don't agree with. We're to watch for divisions that may come up in the church. And that's why the pastor has deacons to talk with and confide in and talk it out and for even to get counsel on it. You deacons have been alive way longer than I've been on this earth alive. You are endowed with wisdom, and that's the way God set things up, is for the pastor to talk to the deacons and the deacons to talk to the pastor. But there's times where decisions have to be made for the protection of the whole flock. Sometimes people don't agree with the pastor's decision and they get their feelings hurt and they leave the church, but it is what it is. They're not answering to God for that church. The pastor is. So we see that there. But look at verse number 3. Feeding the flock faithfully. Overseeing the flock faithfully. But then leading the flock faithfully. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And so the pastor is not to be a dictator. The pastor is to be a demonstrator. You know, there is a certain kind of leadership called servant leadership. It's called leading by example. Now, everybody has their own personalities. I understand that. Some come to the pulpit, we're going to do this and that. And others are more mild and meek. That ain't got a thing to do with pastoring. That's personality. And a lot of it, God works with your personality. But the Bible says here that no matter what kind of personality you have, you're not to be a lord over God's people. There's pastors out there that says, bless God, you're going to hell if, you know, you miss a day of church. Well, that's not right. That's not biblical. Ain't got nothing to do with salvation, missing a Sunday of church. You know, if you don't go on outreach, then God's mad at you and you better put money in an offering plate. You better do this. No, that's a crazy idea. We're not doing that here. It's a dictator. The pastor isn't to lead by dictatorship. Come on, we're going this way. I don't care if you like it or not. This is the way we're going. I heard actually of a pastor that went to a local church not long ago in this area. And on day one, he said this, no more choir. No more choir. That means, in essence, he told the organist that's been playing there since probably before he was born that your job is done. The keyboard player, your job is done. Choir director, every musician, every person that has a song in their heart for Jesus, wanted to sing for him, he said on day one, you're done. We're doing things my way. What? I didn't even bring up the Ceylon about putting the first stroke of paint on the wall to after we've been here 5 years. Amen? This isn't my church, and it really isn't your church. It's God's church, and you being members here for so long, I value that, how long you've been members here. And so, again, I'm not saying anything great by me about me. I got a long way to go. There, listen, I want to grow so much more than I have. And I hope I have a little grown. But I want to grow so much more spiritually. But what I'm saying is this thing with the pastor, he cannot be a Lord. There's only one Lord over God's people, and it's the chief shepherd. The pastor is to lead by example. If pastor... if you're going to preach it hot, you better live it hot. Pastor, if you're going to say thou shalt not to your people, you better make sure Monday through Saturday, thou shalt not to yourself. Law, and this is what Paul was afraid of. He says, I've got to buffet myself. I have to keep my body in subjection, lest by any means I have preached to others, I myself will be a castaway. And so tonight, there is this crown of glory for the faithful pastor that feeds his flock, oversees his flock, leads his flock. And so that's the fourth crown. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Let me mention one more and we'll be through tonight. 2 Timothy 4:8. This is a crown we all can receive. 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul speaking to young Timothy here. And here's what he says. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We know Paul did fight a good fight. Paul did finish his course, kept his faith. And while he was doing that, and by him doing that, it was stating, and he was doing this, he was looking for Jesus' return. And by his actions, by being busy and working and fighting and striving, it was saying that God is, that the Lord is coming back. He said it by his actions. And I know he was looking for the Lord's return. And the Bible says that henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Keep striving. Keep reaching. Keep going. Keep looking. And the Bible says you can get rewarded for that. Because if we were living our life like Jesus could come back today, our conduct would change, wouldn't it? Our walk would change. We would lay aside every weight and the sin. We would strive to do that. We would fight to keep our bodies in subjection. We would stay in our lane and move forward because we know any minute Jesus could come. Now, some people look more forward to their disappearing than his appearing. There is a little difference here. I want to be more caught up in wanting to see his appearing than my disappearing. Now, it's two in the same, but just listen to me. I tonight, and me and Brother Don has talked about this before, and brother, I'm ready to go to heaven tonight. If the Lord comes back, I'm ready. And that's fine. Nothing's wrong with that. We ought to be ready to go to heaven. But there's a difference between desiring more about just laying this body down and laying these worries down just to go to be at a place of relief. There's a difference between that kind of attitude and the attitude of, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him. Now don't feel bad, and me and Don will still say, I'm ready to lay this body down. I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord. And all of us others will say that too. There's nothing wrong with that. But what he's saying is, those of us who are longing and striving and waiting for his return, we can receive a crown for that. We'll be rewarded for that. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain tonight. You say, Brother Justin, well, I don't have a job in the church. I just work a regular job. I'm a family man. Guess what? The Bible says, do everything as unto the Lord, heartily as unto the Lord. You work that job hard. Be faithful to that job. Be faithful to your family. And because if you're doing it in the name of the Lord, you're not doing it in vain. You see. And God will reward you. God will reward you for being faithful on your job, being faithful to your family. And so this is definitely a crown we can win. Now, we preached on Demas a while back. Verse number 10 talks about Demas. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Grecians to Galatia, Titus and Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Demas got caught up in the world. Demas took his eyes off the Lord, and he forsook Paul. And then, yet Paul says, I want you to go get Mark. Mark. There was some tension with Mark early on. And in the early stages of Paul's ministry, Mark went home. He left. He left the mission early. But now Paul's saying he's profitable. And so you have one who forsook Paul, and you have one who... Demas forsook Paul because he got his vision off the Lord. And now you have one who early on forsook Paul but got his vision on the Lord, and now he is back with Paul. It's all about adjusting our sights. One forsook him and one is back. Demas forsook him and Mark is back. It's all about keeping your eyes on the Lord, and keeping our eyes on the Lord will keep us on the right track. That's what we said, Romans 12:2, looking unto Jesus. He is our inspiration. And so that's what we see tonight, that there is a crown, the crown of righteousness. The righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's the lesson tonight, just a race to run and a crown to win. That's my explanation of it. And there are certainly rewards that can be gained, and there's certainly a time where we can lose rewards or not gain any rewards. Let's be a runner who is running for the finish line with the right motives, the right desires, and I know you have that, so that one day when we see Jesus, he could possibly say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. We've done the best we could to bring this simple lesson. And God, we're not interested in gold, in riches. We're interested in you. But Lord, as an earthly race, there is a spiritual race. And so we want to do our very best. Help us do that. Help us condition ourselves to run the race that you have set before us, so that we can finish the crossing line one day and see you face to face. And hopefully, Lord, get an honorable discharge. We love you. We thank you and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for coming. Anything to mention at all before we close? All right, well, help us pray for VBS, that we will get some... good group. We'll get us a good bit of young people on this coming up Friday. So remember that. Come and be with us. Hot dogs and hamburgers Friday. We'll be cooking out. We're going to have a big inflatable out there for the small ones to be jumping on. And I believe Saturday we'll have a light breakfast and maybe some pizza. Again, we'll wrap up on Sunday night. And again, Brother Stephen will be here Sunday morning. All right, you're at liberty to go. Thank you for coming.